Welcome to the most important service in the church for the entire year. And it's the most important service because it's the service that celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The fact that he is alive, our Savior is alive, and we can look to him today. We are so glad you're with us to celebrate this. It is the most important day of the year for Christians. In fact, it's the most important day of the year for all people, if only they knew. And you know, because you're here today. So let's begin by looking to the Lord in prayer. Would you bow with me? Father God, we thank you so much for what you have done for us. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Thank you that you raised him from the dead. And thank you that because you did that, we have hope. We have the hope of life. And we can share that life with others. And that's what we want to do today. Lord Jesus, be worshiped and lifted up today. And may everyone who leaves this place leave with hope today, because Jesus is alive. He is risen indeed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today is the day when we Christians celebrate what we call Easter. But actually, Easter is about something very important. It's about the resurrection of Jesus. But I know that some of us are new to the Christian faith, and so you may not understand this word resurrection. So let me help you with it. The New Testament was originally written in Greek. And so behind this word resurrection, there is a Greek word. Now, we are delighted in our church that we have three Annas. We have Anna Karina. We have Anna Gabriella. Yeah, raise your hand. We have Anna Victoria. But today, we have a fourth Anna. And it's what we're celebrating. Because today, we're celebrating Anastasis. That is the Greek word for resurrection. And it's made up of two parts. It's made up of the root stasis, which means to stand, like I'm doing right now. And the little preposition, Anna, or you can also pronounce it Anna, which means up. So the word resurrection literally means to stand up. When a dead body, without any help from anyone, stands up, that is resurrection. And that's what the New Testament says happened to Jesus. He was nailed to a cross. He died. He was placed in a tomb. But on Resurrection Sunday morning, he walked out of the tomb. He stood up and he walked out into the light. Now, to really understand this word resurrection, there's a couple of things that we need to know. It's very important to make something clear. Resurrection is not being revived or resuscitated. When someone has a heart attack and their heart stops, sometimes a doctor or an EMT technician will put electric paddles on their chest and they will shock their heart with a current of electricity and their heart will start beating again. But that's not what happened to Jesus. There are some people in history who have said that Jesus didn't really die on the cross. He almost died, but not really. They just thought he was dead, and when they took his body down, they put him in a tomb, and in the coolness of the tomb, he revived. He gained consciousness once again. But we know that didn't happen for at least two reasons. First of all, Jesus was put to death by a group of Roman executioners. Their specialty was putting people to death. They were professionals. They knew the difference between almost dead and truly dead, and they had to know the difference. Because if Rome decreed that someone was to be put to death, and the soldiers didn't do a good job, they didn't actually kill the person, and the person survived, those soldiers who were responsible for that death would themselves be nailed to a cross and killed. They were not about to make a mistake. They knew when they took Jesus down from the cross that he was dead. And then secondly, think about it. If Jesus had bled on the cross while he was crucified, if he lost consciousness because of his loss of blood, when he was in the tomb from Friday to Sunday, he received no medical treatment. He didn't get a blood transfusion. There was nothing to help him. How would he walk out of the tomb on Sunday morning? He couldn't even drag himself out of the tomb, let alone walk. And yet when the disciples, the followers of Jesus, saw him, they didn't rush him to the emergency room. They didn't say, he needs medical help. Because Jesus looked more alive at that moment than they had ever seen him look before. So first, it wasn't a resuscitation, it wasn't a revival. And then second, to be resurrected is not simply to reappear. There are some people who believe that Jesus didn't actually rise from the dead, that he only reappeared in the minds and in the hearts of his followers. In other words, they believe that the early followers of Jesus hallucinated. To hallucinate is when you want to see something so badly, your mind plays a trick on you and makes you think that that's what you're seeing. There are times when people get lost in the desert and they are so thirsty, they are dying for a drink of water, and they look off into the distance and they see what they think is a lake, they see what they think is a pool of water, and so they begin to drag themselves to that water because that's their only hope. But then when they get there, they find out that there was nothing there at all. But we know that that's not what happened to the early followers of Jesus. And it's modern-day psychology that shows us that. Because today, psychologists say there is no such thing as group hallucination. We used to think there was. For years, people talked about mass hallucinations, group hallucinations. But psychologists today say, no, there is no such thing. When people hallucinate, what they see in their mind's eye is very different than what other people see. It's very unique and very individual. It's as unique and as individual as the people who have the hallucinations. So it didn't happen this way on Resurrection Sunday morning. One disciple didn't say, oh, did you see Jesus? Yeah. Did you see him? Yeah, he was dressed in blue jeans and a pink bow tie. No, he wasn't. He was wearing a black tuxedo. No, he wasn't. He was wearing khaki pants and a button-down Oxford cloth shirt, just like all pastors wear on Sunday morning. No, that didn't happen. They all saw the same Jesus. They all saw him do the same things. They all heard him speak the same words because it was not hallucination, it was resurrection. Jesus was dead when they put him in the tomb on Friday evening. He was alive when he walked out of the tomb on Sunday morning. That's resurrection, and that's what we're celebrating today. Aren't you jealous that you didn't get to do that? Maybe we should do that. Everybody stand up. So we're going to stand up, and I'm going to count to three. One, two, and when I say three, we're going to jump, okay? I think the floor will hold us, I think.
Yeah, it's a steel beam.
There's a steel beam here, and steel is pretty strong. So I think we're okay. Are you ready? One,
two,
two and a half, three. All right. You may be seated. Good job. Helped with all those pancakes, too, didn't it? All right. Let me just remind you, we're so delighted to have folks with us who, for whom their first language is not English. So if you hear some translation taking place in the back, you'll know what's going on. But we're so thankful that people can hear and hear in their own language the good news about the resurrection. Now that we understand the word resurrection, there's two very important questions we need to answer. Number one, what is so important about the resurrection of Jesus? And in order to understand that question, all you have to do is look at the event that came before the resurrection. And the event that came before the resurrection was the death of Jesus on the cross. The Bible says very clearly that Jesus did not die because of any wrong that he had done. The Bible says he was without any wrongdoing in his life. He did not do anything wrong, and this is the conviction of everyone. There is universal agreement about this. I have never heard any person from any other religion say that Jesus was a bad person and he deserved to die. I have never heard an atheist who does not believe in God say that Jesus was a bad person and he deserved to die. The Bible says Jesus died not because of any wrong he had done, but because of the wrong that you and I have done. Because we have disobeyed God's word. There have been times we have done things we knew to be wrong. There have times we have hated people. There have been times we have stolen, taken things that were not ours. There have been times when we have lied. There have been times when we have been selfish. There have been times when we have treated other people horribly. We have done wrong, you and I, and that's why Jesus died. The Bible says that the punishment for defying God's word, for disobeying his word, the punishment is death. But not just any kind of death. The punishment is spiritual death. Spiritual death is separation from God. It means we can't have contact with God. We can't know God. We can't have a relationship with God. And the Bible says if we die physically, while we are spiritually dead, while we're spiritually separated from God, then we will be separated from God for all eternity, forever. And that's why God sent Jesus, his son, into this world. Because the only hope you and I have of escaping spiritual death, permanent death, is if someone who is without wrong, someone who is without guilt or shame, would take on himself our wrongdoing, our guilt, our sin, our shame, and then endure the punishment that our sin deserves. Endure the death, the separation from God that our sin deserves. And the Bible says that's what Jesus did. God is holy, which means he cannot sin. He is without wrongdoing, and he cannot tolerate it when other people sin. If God does not punish wrongdoing, then God is not God. He is no different than we are. He must punish wrongdoing. And so God, because he didn't want to separate us from him for all eternity, he sent his son Jesus to die in our place, to endure the death, the punishment, the penalty that we deserve. So that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we are forgiven. We are cleansed. All our guilt is taken away. And that's what the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24. It says, he himself, that's Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross. Now, how can we know that what Jesus did works? How can we know that he really did take away our sin, our wrongdoing? How can we know that he really did endure our punishment? Well, the Bible says that God gave us proof that when we believe in Jesus, sin and death no longer have power over us. And that proof, the evidence of this, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. On this day, all over the world, more than 2 billion people are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. People from every culture, every nation, every language are praising Jesus. How can that be? Why is it that one-third of the people on this planet today are worshiping Jesus? Why is it that they see Jesus as their source, their goal, their hope? There's only one explanation, and that is the resurrection of Jesus, the event we're celebrating today. Jesus rose from the dead. That means it's possible for us to be forgiven. It's possible for us to have forgiveness and a relationship with God. It's possible for us to know that death will not destroy us, that we have life that never ends. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. It changes everything. think about something for a moment. This is not a happy thought. I want you to think about the thing in your life that you did that you regret the most. The thing that you did that makes you feel so ashamed, so guilty. The thing that you did that you would not want any other person to know about, because if they did, it would just fill you with so much shame you wouldn't be able to show your face. I want you to think about the most sinful thing, the wrongest thing, the worst thing you've ever done. And now think about this. Because Jesus died and rose from the dead, whatever that is can be wiped away. As if it was never done, as if it never happened. So that even God himself doesn't hold that against you any longer. That's the good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus. If it's true that Jesus rose from the dead. And so that brings us to the next question. How can we know the resurrection of Jesus really happened? Well, for those of us who are believers in Jesus, our first reason for knowing that he did rise is because of the Word of God, because of what the Bible says. And those of us who are followers of Jesus have been reading and studying this book for many years, and we have never found it to be wrong. We have confirmed over and over again in our life how true it is that when we live our life in accordance with the principles of this book, it works. We know the Bible to be truthful and to be reliable. That's the first reason we believe Jesus rose from the dead, is because the Bible tells us that. But that's not the only reason. There are many reasons. I want to share just three this morning. First of all, the resurrection is the only way to explain the birth of Christianity. It's the only way to explain the birth of Christianity. The Jews, the people of Israel, were looking for a Messiah who would lead them to victory over the powers of Rome. They wanted their freedom. They wanted liberation. And so when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday morning, they were wanting him to lead them to victory. They were wanting him to be their victorious king. A Jesus who did not accomplish that, but who instead was nailed to a cross and then taken down from that cross in death and laid in a tomb, that kind of Messiah would quickly be forgotten. That kind of Messiah would be considered an absolute and total failure, and he would be forgotten as soon as people could put him out of their minds. But we know that the followers of Jesus, after his death, began to go out and preach and teach that Jesus was not dead, that he had risen from the grave. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Peter, one of the followers of Jesus, in Jerusalem, the very city where Jesus had been put to death, following the resurrection, Jesus stood up and he spoke to the crowd. And in the crowd, there were people who had actually yelled for Jesus to be crucified. There were people who wanted Jesus dead. And Peter stood up and said to this crowd, including all of those who hated Jesus, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Why would people like Peter and James and John and the other followers of Jesus and all the women who followed him, why would they risk persecution and imprisonment and death to tell people that Jesus was alive if he was not alive? It doesn't make any sense at all. Even those scholars who do not believe in Jesus admit something must have happened. Something dramatic and powerful must have happened to give birth to Christianity, so that people went out and began to preach and teach the good news that Jesus died for our sins, but he rose again. We don't have any other explanation for the rise of Christianity apart from the resurrection. And today, as I said, more than 2 billion people around the world are proclaiming Jesus as Lord. The Christian faith is alive and well today. How could it be unless something brought it into existence, unless something overcame that horrible death of Jesus on the cross? And then second, the tomb of Jesus was found empty. Now, there are many evidences of this that we could point to, but one of the most interesting is this. The first witnesses of the empty tomb were women. Women found the tomb empty, and yet in first century Jewish society, women were looked down upon. They were not looked upon as equal citizens. They were looked upon as second-rate citizens, or even worse. They weren't trusted. That's why the law would not allow them to give evidence in a court of law. They couldn't go in and testify. Now, if the news of the empty tomb was a story that was invented, if it's a story that the early Christians made up, why in the world would they say that women were the first witnesses? If you're going to make up a story about the empty tomb, you would say that the witnesses were the most well-known, the most authoritative, the most trustworthy people on earth. You would have Joseph of Arimathea, one of the leaders of the Jews, or Nicodemus, one of the leaders of the Jews. You would have them as witnesses. But the gospel accounts say it was a group of women. Why do they say that? Because the gospel accounts record what actually happened. There was no other choice. It was the women who were first to the tomb, and that's why the Gospels tell us that. And then third, Jesus appeared to people after his death, and they became witnesses. One of those was a man named Saul. Now, what's interesting about Saul is that there are people who say, well, those witnesses of the resurrected Jesus, they were all people who already believed in Jesus before he died. No, that is not true. Saul hated Jesus. He despised Jesus. He dedicated his life to destroy the Christian church. He dedicated his life to put Christians in prison. But something transformed his life, and he went from being a hater of the gospel, of the Christian faith, to being the greatest missionary the Christian church has ever had. What transformed him? He tells us that he was on his way to a city called Damascus to put Christians in jail, and there he encountered the risen Jesus, and it transformed his life. And there were many other witnesses. I want to introduce you to three of those witnesses today. And first, speaking of the women who found the tomb empty, I want to introduce you to one of those women, a woman by the name of Mary Magdalene. And she's going to come and tell you her story.
I have seen the Lord. My friends, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord. He is risen. He's risen. I've seen the Lord. Lucas, I've seen the Lord. Jake, I've seen the Lord. Oh, my friends, I don't know you, but I want to get to know you to tell you this message. I have seen the Lord. Oh, when I tell you the story, I'm so excited to tell you about the end, but let me back up a little bit. 3 days ago. 3 days ago was very dark. 3 days ago, they took my Lord. He had done nothing. He had not sinned. And do you know what they did to him? They took him and they put him on the cross. And I stood there with his mother and all the people that loved him. I stood there and I watched as they put him on the cross. I saw the blood dripping down from his head. I saw as they pierced his hands for this person who had only loved and wanted us to be with our Father. I saw as they pierced his foot to the cross and it bled. And the blood, and I could not watch. I almost could not look away. But I was there for him and I wanted to be there for him because I will tell you about my story, a very dark story. But first, I want to tell you about my Lord. And as he stayed there, and I stayed there with the mother and the people that loved him. And I watched as his body went limp. I watched it. And I watched as they took away his body. And we put the spices on him. And we put him away in a tomb and closed it. I tell you, my friends, that day was so dark. And I don't mean dark as in what you can see with your eyes. I mean dark, my heart. It was so dark because imagine this person who had come to save us from this very dark world, and now he was gone. We didn't know what to do. Our Savior was gone. What were we supposed to do? What was left? What was left? We wept. We all wept. Then the first day of the week, before the sun even came out, I decided to go to the tomb. I went to the tomb, and it was open. How could that be? Did someone go in there and disrespect the Lord of the body of my Lord? I didn't know what to do, so I ran to Simon and John. I went to tell them the tomb is open. They came back with me. And sure enough, when they looked in there, the body was gone. How could someone do this? They took the body of my Lord. They left. But I didn't even know what to do, so I sat down outside of the tomb, and I just cried. I didn't know what to do. I just cried. I went in the tomb, and there were two angels, one at the foot and one at the head, and they said, "Woman, why do you cry?" Why would they ask me such question? Why do I cry? I cry because his body is gone. I turned around and there was some man, I think it was a gardener, and he too said, "Woman, why do you cry? Who is it that you're looking for?" And I said, "Do you know, have they taken my Jesus away? I will go get him. I will get him myself." But then something happened. Do you know what he said, Kemet? This person that I thought was a gardener said, "Mary." Has Jesus ever said your name? When he says your name, you know it, right? Jesus said my name. And when Jesus said my name, I said, "Rabboni," because I knew it was him, the person that had casted demons out of me, the person that took away the darkest part of my life and freed me. He said my name. And when he said my name, I knew he is risen. Say it with me. He is risen. So I came to tell you this story. I came to tell you my story that I saw with my own eyes. I have seen the Lord, and he is risen. He told me. I wanted to just hang on to him. He said, "Mary, no. I need you to go tell my brothers that I'm not in that tomb because someone took away my body. You will not find the body. Because you know what? He told me to go tell his brothers, and I knew that he is risen and that I don't have to worry about death. Death could not hold him. My Lord, my Savior, he is risen. I came to tell you my story. I have seen the Lord." And you will hear about other people. I'm not the only one, because who am I? I was just a woman. Just a woman. Why did he choose me? I don't know. But I came to tell you, I saw the blood. I saw them put away his body. And that body was gone, but I saw him because he is risen. I have seen the Lord. He is risen. I have seen the Lord. He is risen. I have seen the Lord.
Thank you, Mary. And now I want to introduce to you one of the original followers of Jesus, a fisherman, a man named John.
I'm John.
我本来是加利利海边的渔夫。
I'm a fisherman in Galilee.
算不上什么有名的人。
I'm not a very famous person.
我也没什么本事。
I don't have any skills.
但是我有一位主。
但是 I have a Lord.
我今天要给大家所见证的 就是他的复活。
I'm going to tell you the story that about the resurrected Christ, Jesus.
那天早上
that morning,
当玛利亚来告诉我们
when Mary came to tell us,
主耶稣的身体不在坟墓里的时候
Jesus' body was not in the tomb.
其他的人还没有什么反应
other people haven't reacted yet.
我和彼得却立刻冲出了门口
Peter and I rushed out the door right away.
虽然我的个子比他小
although I'm a little bit short,
但是我跑得比他还要快
but I ran faster than Peter.
我一面跑，脑子里面想
as we were running to the tomb, I was thinking,
这是一位何样何等样的主啊
what?
我在想我们的主耶稣
I was thinking,
虽然我只跟随了他有三年的时间
I was thinking about my Lord Jesus although I've been following him for 3 years
他所讲的道理不是地上的道理而是从天上来的道理
His teaching is not worldly but from the heaven
文士和法利赛人讲不出他这样的道理
Scribes and Pharisees cannot teach His teaching is not like the scribes and the Pharisees
他行了许多神迹
and he did many miracles too.
他使瞎子看见
he opened the eyes of the blind.
使哑巴说话
he made the dumb speak.
他使瘸子行走
he made the crippled walk.
他使长大麻风的人洁净
he cleaned the people who have leprosies.
他甚至让死人复活
and he even raised the dead.
他用五比二鱼喂饱了五千人。
He fed 5,000 people with five fish and two biscuits.
他平静风和海。
He calmed the seas.
如果他想要在这地上做王
，If he wants to be a king on earth，
所有的人一定会拥戴他。
Many people will support him.
但是他却上了十字架。
But he was crucified.
当我在下面。看到他上十字架的时候
when I was under the cross, when he was on the cross,
看着兵丁把枪钉入他的肋旁
when the spear from the soldiers pierced his side,
我心里一切的希望都破灭了
my hope were dashed.
但是今天玛利亚说他的尸体不在了
but this morning, Mary told us that his body was gone.
难道主耶稣以前讲的都是真的？
Was his? He has been telling us that he would rise again in 3 days.
他在过去曾经三次说。
He told us 3 times about this.
他要上十字架。
That he will go to the cross.
为人而死。
And will die for everyone's sins.
使人可以得救。
And that will give us eternal life.
并且要复活。
And then he will be resurrected.
他可以让别人复活
he can raise the dead
但是他自己死了
but he himself died
可以真的复活吗
can he resurrect himself
我不知道怎么去想这些问题
I don't understand all this
我到了坟墓口
I ran to the tomb
心砰砰的跳
my heart was racing
我有一些迟疑
I was a little bit hesitant
我不太敢进去
I don't want to go in first
我看到裹尸体的细麻布在旁边散落着。
I saw the linen of that was around Christ's body.
正在这个时候
，And at that time,
彼得已经赶到了。
Peter came in behind me.
他一下子就冲了进去。
And then he rushed into the tomb.
我也跟他一起进去了。
And then I followed him into the tomb.
尸体真的不在里面。
The body was gone. Jesus' body was gone.
裹尸布在这边。
The linen was on one side.
裹头巾在另一边。
The head scarf, the head linen was on the other side.
他说的是真的。
What Jesus says was true.
他真的复活了。
Jesus resurrected.
我相信。
I believed.
当天晚上。
That evening.
当我们所有的门徒聚集在一起的时候。
When all the disciples were gathering.
耶稣在我们中间显现。
Jesus showed up among us.
他说。
He said.
赐你们平安。
May peace be with you.
他向我们吹了一口气。
He blew a breath of air to us.
说你们受圣灵。
You all receive the Holy Spirit.
这个圣灵是从神来的生命。
This Holy Spirit came from God.
我今天在这里做见证。
Today I'm telling you all this.
是要向你们见证耶稣的复活。
Is to show that Jesus really came alive.
要向你们他用他复活的大能证明他是神的儿子。
With the resurrections, it's proof that he is the Son of God, as he said.
他的复活是人类历史到现在为止所发生的最重要的事情。
His resurrection is the most important thing in human history.
他说
He said,
我来是要叫人得生命。
I came to give you life.
并且得的更丰盛。
Abundant life.
这个生命
This life.
不是从地上来的。
It's not from this earth.
是从天上来的。
This abundant life came from the heaven.
这个生命不是从血气生的。
This abundant life is not our physical body.
是从神生的。
It's come from God.
这个生命不是被创造的生命。
This abundant life is not created by God.
It's not created life.
It's not created life.
是造物主的生命。
It's
the life of God.
It's the life of God. Okay.
Will you believe?
当我相信的时候，
你愿意相信吗？你愿意得到这个生命吗？
We will believe and we will accept this life.
For that great illustration of speaking in tongues, we really appreciate that. Now I get to introduce to you another disciple who also was a fisherman, the most well-known, in fact, of all the followers of Jesus, the most well-known of the 12, and the guy who's not quite as fast on his feet as John, but I want to introduce to you Peter.
Good morning. The day Jesus rose from the dead was the most amazing day, and I'll never forget it. But it was really the next time that I saw him that really changed my life. The day Jesus died, I was a coward. He told me I would betray him. He told me I would deny him, and I did. I so desperately wanted to be there for him, and I failed him. I was following at a distance on purpose. And I got found out and I lied saying I didn't even know him. I wasn't even there when he died. But the day he rose from the dead, when Mary came and told me and John about it, and we ran to the tomb, well, it's true, John is shorter than I am. But I like fish a little more than he does. We got to the tomb. It was empty. And just like John had said, Jesus appeared to us. And I felt his forgiveness about how I let him down. And I felt his love. And the whole room felt the forgiveness and love. But there's a difference between being forgiven and trusted. And I knew I'd blown it. I was not worthy to be his disciple anymore. I was disqualified. So I went back to fishing. So I was fishing with other people that felt disqualified, some other disciples, and we had a lousy night of fishing. And then we see a man on the beach, and he calls out to us, "Have you caught any fish?" Obviously, we hadn't caught any fish. And he asked us to throw our nets on the other side. And then miraculously, all of this fish came up. And somebody screamed out, "It's the Lord." So I put on my clothes and I jumped in the water. I don't know why I did that. But then we got to the beach and it was Jesus. And we sat there and we had breakfast. Then we were sitting around, and Jesus looked me in the eye, and he said, "Simon, do you love me?" And I was afraid to answer him. I was afraid because if I said yes, he would have turned to me and said, "Then why did you deny me? Why did you betray me?" And I didn't want to hear my own answer coming back to him that I was a coward, that I wasn't brave. But I was done letting fear control me. I was going to tell him my answer, and I was going to ready to accept whatever he had to say to me. So I said, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And then he told me, "Feed my sheep." He still wanted me to be a disciple. He still wanted me to carry his message. But he kept asking me, and every time it hurt my heart because I didn't want to answer it. I didn't want the other shoe to fall and for him to say, "Why did you betray me? Why did you let me down?" But I just kept answering him, "Yes, Lord." And he kept telling me, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." Now, you're going to think I'm crazy, but he gave me the best news I had ever heard in my life next. He told me how I was going to die. He told me that there was going to be a time that somebody was going to lead me to a place I didn't want to go and dress me in place in things I didn't want to wear. And then I knew what he meant by that. I knew, you know, there will come a time where you will have a chance to deny me to save yourself. There will come a time in your life when you will have the choice to be brave for me or to be a coward again, but you will not choose to be a coward again. You will not deny me again to the very end of your life. And he reached out his hand to me, and he said, "Follow me," like he did years before. You know, he told me that I was going to be the rock that he was going to build his church upon. And I felt I had ruined that I was disqualified. But it's true, I can be that rock that God builds his church.
Thank you, Peter. You know, an hour is not a lot of time to convince you that Jesus actually rose from the dead. And it's very difficult for us. So I understand if you're still thinking about the issue and if you're still wondering whether or not this can actually be true. It is not easy because we live in a culture where we're told not to believe anything that we do not see with our own eyes, and we're even told not to believe what we can see. So it's very difficult. And we, in the 21st century, we have this fear of believing in the resurrection of Jesus because we have this idea that science will not allow us to believe that Jesus could have been raised from the dead. But the fact of the matter is, science really has nothing to say about the resurrection of Jesus. Because science is based on experiments and observations of naturally occurring things, observations and experiments that can be reproduced and repeated over and over and over again. But a miracle is an interruption to the natural order of events, and a miracle can't be repeated over and over and over and over again. To say that something which cannot be studied by science cannot be true, that's not science. That's philosophy. Because science thinks that the only thing that can be known is what can be learned from science, but that's not a scientific statement. That actually is a religious statement. For the religion of science. Real science is concerned only with observing and making statements about what we can see, but it has nothing to say about the resurrection of Jesus because that transcends the natural order of physical phenomenon and physical substances. There is nothing in science that disproves the resurrection of Jesus. And so says Dr. Ian Hutchinson, who is professor of nuclear physics at MIT, and who is himself a follower of Jesus, and a believer in the resurrection. And if you want to know how one of the most brilliant scientists in the U.S. is a fervent follower of Jesus and a believer in the resurrection, you can read his books, you can listen to him online. It may be hard for us today to accept the resurrection of Jesus, but we need to remember it was just as hard for people who lived in the first century. It wasn't science that was standing in their way, but they had many other reasons why they found it hard to believe. But something happened which overcame their doubt. Something happened which overcame their unbelief, and they became believers in Jesus. And for the last 2,000 years, millions, actually billions of people have looked at the evidence, they've read the word, and they have made the decision that Jesus Christ not only died for sin, that he not only took away our guilt, but that he rose from the dead. He defeated the power of death. But look at things from the other side of the coin. Let's look at things from the other perspective for just a moment. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then that means that death and not life is the most powerful force in the universe. And it means that when we die, when we leave this world, all our gifts, all our abilities, all our knowledge, all our success, all our understanding, all our relationships, all of it is going to come to nothing and will be quickly forgotten. And when the sun burns out, as it will one day, and when the earth turns to ice, it will be as if the human race never was. But if Jesus conquered conquered death, as the Bible says he did, and as the witnesses you've heard today say he did, if Jesus conquered death, that means that your life and the life of your spouse, the life of your children, that means that your lives matter, not just now in this brief moment that we have on this planet, but your lives matter forever, for all eternity, because Jesus Christ conquered death. And so the greatest news that we have ever heard in all of human history is that he is alive. Jesus Christ is alive today, and because he is alive, you can have life that will never, ever end. Amen. Of Resurrection Sunday, this day, may it be filled with joy and hope and peace. May it be filled, most of all, with the presence of the risen Christ in you and in your family. God bless you. And go in peace.